Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Sup podcast. I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Sammy Fishbein.
And for those of you who are just tuning in, the Betches Sup podcast is your weekly rundown of all the crazy shit that's happened in the news, explained by your two funniest friends,
which is us.
Today we're talking about the impeachment hearings.
The debate.
That's really it.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
So let's just get into it.
Betches Media presents.
I like beer. I don't know if you do. Okay. Do you like beer, Senator, or not?
My party is going bet crazy.
You're the alternative facts.
Oh, goodness.
The Betches Sup podcast.
America!
All right. Well, I'd ask you what's getting you through the week, but it's basically what
it's
we're
obvious.
About. Yeah, it's all the main news of the week is getting us through the week.
Yeah, I can't believe there are like back to back to back impeachment hearings.
Yes.
And that they're doing them like they're doing a day shift and a night shift, essentially.
Yes.
Which, fine, like for the watcher. But what about the people there? Aren't they tired?
Is like, what is Adam Schiff's like routine? Exactly. I'm like, can we get
this? He's a triathlon runner.
That's, I guess,
not shocking.
That makes more sense. I'm just hoping that he's getting like rest.
8 hours?
Yeah. Yeah. Is he getting rest?
You know, he seems collected.
Yeah.
And
he's very sharp.
He is. I wish I could be like that now. He's like twice my age.
I fall asleep during a movie. Like,
wow.
I could not, like, I, like, if a movie theater is, like, cozy and it's dark, like, I will fall asleep during a movie.
Yeah.
I'm, like, an elderly person.
We were just talking before the show that Elise is a little technologically
challenged.
Not the savviest. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call you challenged because there are people who really are challenged, but
yes,
you can manage your life, so
yeah,
you're okay.
That's true. Like, I can use my phone and stuff.
Yeah.
But
she's on the way.
Yeah. I will eventually be someone who cannot use any of the new technology. Yeah.
You won't be able to go in the VR world.
Exactly.
Basically. You're going to be like, I want to be in the real world.
I'll just say, I don't trust it. Yeah. My kids will be like, Grandma, you're so weird.
It's literally
like, my grandma's not in the VR universe.
Yeah. But Adam Schiff, he has staff. I think it's probably because he's not a millennial. He's not like tired and trying to like go home and sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was a video or like a picture of Gordon Sondland getting on a plane after his testimony, which is actually very funny because the story is that he put his bag in the wrong overhead bin. And then when the flight attendant told him, he was like, this is what my whole day has been like, which is a very funny line from Gordon Sondland.
I actually thought that Gordon Sondland, like, let's say he weren't in his situation.
Yeah.
He might actually be like fun to party with. Did you get that vibe at all?
He was like jolly during the hearing. He made a couple jokes. He was like kind of laughing and smiling. I was like,
do you know you could get arrested?
Yeah, I was like, you know that you like don't have immunity for any of this stuff you're talking about. Right.
Which again, more evidence, could be fun to party with if he weren't $1 million donor to Trump.
Yeah.
Like, take politics out.
Exactly. Take what he was talking about out. I was like, likable, fun, you know, seems like Vindman, I feel like
world.
I agree with as a person more, but I wouldn't say he came off as fun.
Exactly. Exactly.
Sondland fun.
Vindman,
has a sense of humor.
Vindman less fun.
Less fun, but serious.
But you know what the thing with Sondland is? Because he's clearly one of those guys. And I'll be honest, I personally think that I may share some of this quality.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of those people who just kind of runs their mouth.
Yeah. Podcast listeners, write in and see if you think that's true.
Like just one of the, but I think that in that situation, because he was involved in this like secondary channel,
mm-hmm.
He caused problems by the fact that he kind of just runs his mouth and doesn't like stick to the plan and doesn't know when we're being shady and when we're being, you know,
he's screaming
there.
On the phone with the president at a restaurant. Like, it's just like, oh, dude.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, he's in the wrong place to be having these conversations, and he doesn't even, like, think about it. Like, he could be at Lavo, like, having, you know, a
meeting.
Well,
this is what happens when you become a major ambassador, and your only qualification is that you donated $1 million.
Right. You
to
don't
the president.
Know you're it's a you're in above your head.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that definitely was proven yesterday.
Yes.
So let's get into it. Gordon Sondland, former ambassador to the European.
No, he is,
oh,
the,
he
ambassador.
Is the ambassador still.
Yeah,
I guess I assumed
he was going to Brussels back to continue doing his job.
That's where the plane was to. I 100% assumed that they brought somebody else in there. That's crazy to me.
Trump didn't fire him.
But Trump is still sorry to this manning him and being like, I've never seen this guy.
Right, but he hasn't fired him.
I don't know. That's very interesting to me.
Yeah.
I assume everyone's been fired, but okay.
No one's been fired.
Ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, who, just to give a background on who he was before we get into it.
Other than a fun bro.
Other than kind of like the fun hearing guy.
Yeah.
So he was a major Trump donor. He had originally, he kind of went back and forth with Trump. He supported Trump until Trump insulted the Khan family. That was that Gold Star family. Then Sondland was no longer supporting Trump. But then ultimately he was like, you know what? I will support Trump. Gave him $1 million.
Imagine like not supporting someone and then turning so hard around, or having so much money that you can turn so hard around to give them $1 million.
Right? Like, is what is giving someone $1 million to Gordon Sondland?
It's nothing.
He's
it's like me buying you lunch, I think. Honestly.
And he's originally just like a rich guy from Portland.
Oh, he's from Portland?
He's from Portland, which is interesting.
I don't see that.
I know.
But maybe I do see it now, actually. Yeah. Now I see it. He kind of also reminds me of a turtle coming out of his shell.
He did have a turtly
turtle
look.
Club. Turtle club.
All of these hearing people, I felt like, have had very distinct looks.
They have looks.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like in the past, it's a lot of just like blank white guy faces. But these are like everyone. I mean, Bill Taylor was more of like a voice, a vocal presence.
Yeah.
But Vindman was like very like
distinct.
Military guy.
Yeah.
And then
Jennifer Williams reminded me of Donna from The West Wing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. She was like Donna from The West
Wing. She sounded like her.
Okay.
But yeah, more on Gordon Sondland. Sorry, we're just like shooting the shit right now.
More on Gordon Sondland. So Gordon Sondland was part of the three amigos, as they were called, of Ukraine policy, which was him, Kurt Volker, who has also testified, and Rick Perry, who I don't think we'll hear from because he's ignoring.
Do I need to point out the irony of these probably racist men calling themselves the three
amigos? I know. Like, I know.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
But so they're all involved in Ukraine policy, even though Sondland isn't even the ambassador to Ukraine.
No, he's not at all.
Not at all. And the EU is not. Ukraine is not in the EU, sadly. It probably should be at this point. I bet you if Gryffindor wins.
Yes.
Ukraine might end up in the EU.
Well, at this point, I feel like for what they've gone through, give them
they
something.
They deserve it.
Is being in the EU a prize? I don't know how that works.
Well, it depends who you ask.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Ask Nigel Farage. The answer is
that's true.
No.
But if Britain's out,
we got an extra spot.
Put Ukraine in. This is probably to people who actually know about how any of this works, the dumbest shit they've ever
heard. Okay, but do you think those people are listening?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're like the gateway drug to more serious politics, and that was a Biden reference.
Wow. Yes. Okay. Meta. We'll get to it later.
Yeah.
So in this hearing, we were all very excited for it to be an explosive hearing, and an explosive hearing it was. The biggest moment came right out the gate in Sondland's opening statement when he confirmed the question of this whole thing, which is, was there a quid pro quo? We're going to play a clip of that right now.
I know that members of this committee frequently frame these complicated issues in the form of a simple question. Was there a quid pro quo? As I testified previously, with regard to the requested White House call and the White House meeting, the answer is yes. Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, and I worked with Mr. Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine matters at the express direction of the President of the United States. We did not want to work with Mr. Giuliani. Simply put, we were playing the hand we were dealt. We all understood that if we refuse to work with Mr. Giuliani, we would lose a very important opportunity to cement relations between the United States and Ukraine. So we followed the president's orders. Everyone was in the loop. It was no secret. Everyone was informed via email on July 19th, days before the presidential call. As I communicated to the team, I told President Zelensky in advance that assurances to run a fully transparent investigation and turn over every stone were necessary in his call with President Trump.
So that's the whole thing. I mean, I was just like, why can't they just be like, okay, well, we're done. He answered the question.
Right.
Like, okay, we're done here. So yeah, Sondland confirmed that there was a quid pro quo with regard to a White House meeting, which I think is the specific thing.
Yes. The meeting was the quid pro quo that Sondland is admitting to here.
Yes.
But there was also the question of the military aid.
Yes.
Which Republicans, particularly Elise Stefanik, who won't shut the fuck up, she kept pointing out, but they got the aid and they didn't know at the time of the July 25th call that the aid was being held up. So it couldn't have been a quid pro quo. But on the second shift of the hearings yesterday, mm-hmm. Laura Cooper came. She works for the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. And she said that the Ukrainians did know at the time of the call that the aid was being held up. So that completely undermines that entire yes. argument.
Republicans definitely, like, their strategy yesterday, because originally we talked about how their strategy was to be like, this is hearsay, you guys didn't know anything. For Sondland and the people who came in this week who actually heard the call, their strategy was very much directed at trying to show that Sondland did not actually know of a quid pro quo regarding to the aid.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which it may have seemed sketchy, or he may have been like kind of willfully ignorant about
yeah.
it. But if I had to give a visual to the Republican strategy in mm-hmm. general, I imagine it being like they just come and they throw like a smoke bomb.
Yes.
In front of that, which is extremely clear.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most interesting things that he brings up is that, so you hear Bill Taylor and you hear Marie Yovanovitch both testifying earlier to how there were really two channels. There was the official channel, which was like kind of continuing the policy that's like pro-NATO, pro-protecting Ukraine from Russia, pro-Western values, essentially.
Yeah.
And then you have this second channel, which is Rudy Giuliani trying to, squeeze the Ukrainians for assistance for Trump.
Yes.
Which is the announcement about the investigation.
Yes, and I think that's a huge thing because a lot of the Republicans, they've tried to be like, oh, Trump only cares about corruption, which is okay.
The craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, show me, bitchware.
Yeah.
But what Sondland really laid out is that this was not even about actually really conducting an investigation. It was all about announcing
yes.
an investigation. Like Trump did not care one way or another if they
there was an investigation.
Yeah, like that was said explicitly. He cared that the president came out and announced it on TV so that it could be used for his political campaign.
Yes. And the thing that you're also hearing is that this became the channel.
Yes.
And that's why they had to get Marie Yovanovitch out of the way, is what she said. She was like, I was kicked out of this because
yeah.
they needed to get me out of the way so that they can make this the official channel.
Mm-hmm.
And the official channel, the goal of it, the only interest being served in this channel is whether Trump gets some assistance to be reelected, which is like, I don't know.
And we'll get into it later, but it's like Joe Biden might not even be the nominee, dude. Like, doing this so early is so, it's like, wait till you find out who the fucking nominee is.
Yeah, I also want to share something. So I speculated on Monday's podcast mm-hmm. that this whole thing was Putin's idea.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
he basically said to, he must have hinted or something to Trump that this was the way to get this information and to squeeze Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be obviously beneficial to Putin too.
Yes.
So, okay. I said this. I don't have like actual reporting mm-hmm. basis for it. I'm not a reporter. But
yes.
Garry Kasparov, who is, I guess he's kind of like an advocate, activist, Russia. He has a lot of experience in Russia. Mm-hmm. I think he may have, a background there. He tweeted, Biden announced his candidacy on April 25th. The very next week, Trump spoke with Putin on the phone for a long time, and Giuliani's activities in Ukraine expanded from the Ukraine conspiracy, the Ukraine Hillary conspiracy BS, to the corrupt Biden BS. Amazing coincidence. This guy, like, knows what's up, too. He's not a rando.
And also, like, Russia's coming out of this great. We're now, the U.S. is bogged down in this crazy conspiracy, which is what they wanted with their election meddling in the first place.
Yes.
And Ukraine is between a rock and a hard place. Yeah, they got this aid, but now it's like the entire Ukraine policy is a mess.
Yeah.
So, like,
and they're trying to basically, they're reliant on help from the their enemies, like,
yeah,
like, bitch, basically.
Yes. Yes, that is, I think that is the technical term. Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what they're using at the State Department. Okay. So how did this, let's yes. talk about how this happened.
Yeah.
So in May, Sondland attended Zelensky's inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
3 days later, he met with Trump to discuss the new Ukrainian president, Zelensky, and general leadership in Ukraine. Sondland and his team were attempting to arrange a meeting between Trump and Zelensky, which is a normal thing to do, because leaders meet with leaders,
yeah,
whatever. Trump kept trying to force them to work with Rudy. And as we all know, Rudy is like ground zero. Ooh.
You know what? We'll take it back. Pun not intended.
Not intended. He is for this secondary channel. Sondland says he doesn't want to work with Rudy, but the president asked us to, and we work for the president. He then said that they followed, Sondland basically then relates to Congress, that they followed the president and Giuliani's direction because they ultimately thought that it was the most likely way to get Ukraine the aid, mm-hmm, and what it needed. So after meeting with Trump, Sondland begins working with the other two amigos, mm-hmm, Rick Perry and Kurt Volker, on to basically make sure that this Trump-Zelensky meeting happens and other Ukraine issues. So I'm sure the aide was also involved. Perry and Volker were in charge of communicating directly with Giuliani, but it becomes clear that Giuliani is actually just the president's mouthpiece.
Yeah. Like, at one point, Sondland, like, they were like, well, how do you know that these directives were coming from President Trump? And he's like, because if you call President Trump or ask President Trump anything, he says, talk to Rudy.
Right.
And then Rudy tells you all this stuff.
Right. That's so, how Tony Soprano does it.
Exactly.
Too.
It all goes back to his mob boss bullshit, where it's like, of course he's not going to ever directly tell anybody anything. He has a consigliere who does that.
Which undermines the Republicans' weak, weak argument that they love to say, which is that he doesn't know. He doesn't know any better. He's new at this.
Yeah.
No. He knows what he's doing. He's been conducting his affairs this way his entire life. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. The one place where Donald Trump is 100% confident and knows exactly what he's doing is criminal activity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The truth is, and I've read many Trump biographies, like, mm-hmm, I'm not just like spewing this.
Yes.
I cannot think of one legitimate endeavor that the president earned money on other than The Apprentice, where he was being paid by NBC.
Yeah. That might be his only above board.
It is.
Financial thing.
There is nothing else that he has not in some way cheated someone or some system to benefit himself. So this is what he knows.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway, Sondland claimed he didn't want to work with Rudy, but he had to.
I also feel like this has come up many times in the hearing where people are like, no one wanted to talk to Rudy. Like, it's truly every single person is like, and by the way, Rudy sucks. Yeah. And we hated talking to him.
It's true. It's true. But Rudy probably is under the bus in a minute.
Yeah.
So Sondland says, I work with Mr. Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine matters at the express direction of the president of the United States. And later added, we all understood that these prerequisites for the White House call and White House meeting between Zelensky and Trump reflected President Trump's desires and requirements, meaning they were not going to get the meeting and they were not going to get a phone call with Trump. I'm talking about Ukraine, mm-hmm, is the, yeah, they, unless they announce these investigations.
Yes.
Okay. Sondland also confirmed that this was not rogue diplomacy, that this was the channel. When, yeah, he says everyone was in the loop, it was no secret.
I feel like everyone was in the loop, apart from the, like, was there a quid pro quo? Yes. Everyone was in the loop is, like, the big pull quote.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of yesterday.
And the important people who we're going to go into,
yes,
are Mike Pompeo,
mm-hmm,
who's trying to run for Senate. but he's got to get out of his position first.
Yeah.
And Mike Pence.
I know. I'm so happy that Pence was implicated.
He is just holier than thou, and I can't stand that kind of guy.
Yeah. And I feel like he thinks that just because he can, like, hang back and he doesn't really do too much, like, he'll get away with this scot-free.
He might.
I mean, he might, but I'm happy that he got implicated. And I'm just like, you should have done the 25th Amendment when you could, bitch. Like, you're going down.
You know, if, look, I don't know how, like, justice is meted out in this world, mm-hmm. but it seems to me that if things do end up fairly, he will be in big trouble because he mm-hmm. knew it. He willfully turned a blind eye. He tried to distance himself. Yeah. He's not an idiot. I mean, he is an idiot, but he's not an idiot in this sense. He knows that he needs to put himself, like, at least an arm's length away from this if he wants to have any semblance of plausible deniability.
Yeah. And it's like, sorry, dude, this is what you get for agreeing to be Donald Trump's running mate. This is where you end up, and you should have gamed that. You and mother should have gamed that out before you got involved in any of this.
The
shit.
Satan is inside him.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking when you mentioned mother of our cartoon president, when the scenes when she's like, oh, you guys all fancy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and watch
great
that again.
Karen Pence. Season 3 recording now.
Great.
We're having a lot of fun.
When is it coming?
I don't know, actually.
Oh,
but I've recorded one episode.
Okay, so that's exciting.
I know.
Elisa's AOC, in case for new listeners. Elisa's AOC on our cartoon president on Showtime.
And it's very fun.
And she's great. So let's talk about Pence. What did he know?
Okay. So Sondland told lawmakers that he spoke with Pence on September 1st ahead of a meeting that he had scheduled with Zelensky. He said, I mentioned to Vice President Pence before the meeting with the Ukrainians that I had concerns about the delay, he's talking about the military aid there, had become tied to the issue of investigations. I recall mentioning that before the Zelensky meeting. So that means that at this point, September 1st, Mike Pence is aware of this issue about the aid and the meetings. Yesterday, Mike Pence's chief of staff tried to distance himself from that, saying this alleged discussion never happened. Zelensky also met with Pence again in September to ask about the aid, and Pence told Zelensky he'd look into it. So we're directly tying Pence to the aid.
Yes, exactly.
At least knowing about the aid in this situation.
So President Pelosi, your move.
I know. I know.
I mean, again, if justice is
justice
done.
Justice is served.
Yeah. We'll have our first female president, and it won't be Nikki Haley, which, like, way too many people think it will be. Like, no. Okay. Let's talk about, there's a bit of an inconsistency in some of what Sondland said.
Yes. And Republicans, like, exploited a lot.
Yeah. He was very careful to say that he didn't know whether the over 400 million in frozen military aid was explicitly part of this quid pro quo, meaning he was trying to isolate it to being the meeting.
Yeah.
But so he says, President Trump never told me directly that the aid was conditioned on the investigations. The aid was my own personal guess based, again, on your analogy, 2 + 2 = 4. He eventually said that he came to believe the aid was conditioned on investigation because there was no other explanation. Again, this is just Trump not saying the quiet part out loud for once in his life.
Because he's good at crimes.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
His criminal activity is his forte.
Yes. He also tried to claim that he didn't know that the investigations into Burisma was relevant to the Bidens. And he says, in hindsight, I now understand that others saw the idea of investigating possible corruption involving the Ukrainian company Burisma as equivalent to investigating former Vice President Biden. I saw them as very different, the former being appropriate and unremarkable, the latter being unacceptable. In retrospect, I should have seen that connection differently, and had I done so, I would have raised my own objections. You know, I do buy this, that he might have just sort of been, like, in his own shit and, like, not necessarily putting it together immediately.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a qualified ambassador. Like,
exactly.
He doesn't actually know.
Yeah. So I do believe that maybe he was somewhat unconscious, like, mm-hmm. not conscious of this, but, like, that doesn't change Trump's actions. It just kind of absolves him, which, whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so this was challenged by Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, who hide.
I know, and is crushing so, at these hearings.
Love him. Yes. Who is this guy?
I know, just every hearing we get, like, a new person who I'm like, okay.
Great.
Like, you are cool.
The voters have spoken.
Yes.
Okay, so Sean Patrick Maloney, regulation hottie,
yes,
pushed him to acknowledge a Burisma investigation would obviously benefit the president, and Gordon got a little salty about it. Here's the clip.
When he asked about investigations, I assumed he meant
I know what you assume, company. But who would benefit from an investigation of the Bidens?
They're two different questions.
I'm just asking you one. Who would benefit from an investigation of the Bidens?
I assume President Trump would benefit.
There we have it. See? Didn't hurt a bit, did it? Didn't hurt a bit, but let me ask you something.
Mr. Maloney?
Hold on, sir.
Excuse me. I've been very forthright, and I really resent what you're trying to
do. Fair enough. You've been very forthright. This is your third try to do so, sir. Didn't work so well the first time, did it? We had a little declaration come in after, you remember that? And now we're here a third time, and we got a doozy of a statement from you this morning. There's a whole bunch of stuff you don't recall. So all due respect, sir, we appreciate your candor, but let's be really clear on what it took to get it out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Sondland is trying to obfuscate so that he can. I think his wife probably was like, you got to be the hero in this,
yeah,
because you know so much. So release what you know and then try to just be a little bit unclear about the stuff that maybe you turned a blind eye to. Yeah. And it seems like you were just.
Yeah. Admit just enough.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So because that really does kind of conflict with another witness's claim that Sondland told. This was David Holmes. Mm-hmm. So David Holmes told Congress that Sondland told other people that Trump only cared about the big stuff in Ukraine, like the Biden investigation.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
So at some point, Sondland obviously gets wise to like what's going on. And
I think to pretend that he didn't know Burisma was code for the Bidens until his second closed door testimony is like, I don't buy that. I do believe that maybe at the beginning he wasn't putting two and two together.
That's exactly how I feel about it. I mean, it had to have been at some point prior to this because Holmes says that he heard Trump ask Sondland on the phone if Zelensky would do the investigations.
Yes.
And Sondland said, yes, he loves your ass. He'll do anything you ask.
Holmes being Bill Taylor's aide.
Correct.
Who overheard Trump screaming on the phone, which one of my favorite like little details that has come out about this is that Trump screams into the phone, which like I think all of us probably instinctually knew was true, but I love just the idea that he speaks so loudly into the phone that like anyone can hear his phone conversations.
I literally gave this speech on Monday but it was more angled towards like I'm glad that it's some dumb stupid character flaw that actually like takes him down.
I love that,
rather than like a big thing.
Yes,
like I love that it's just he screams into the phone.
It just like, makes me laugh, like every little weird detail we get about him makes me laugh. Like yesterday when he was giving his response to Gordon Sondland's testimony, someone took a photo of his notes, which were a truly manic scrawl in Sharpie that said, I want nothing. I want nothing. There is no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky to do the right thing.
I have literally not stopped thinking about that note because it scares me.
The last line says, this is the final word from Prez of US. It's just like.
But that should scare you. Like, that's what he thinks is. Like, what? Like, that is.
I know.
Am I the only one who's like so shook by that?
I just feel like I love that he needs to even write that down.
I want nothing.
He's like, listen, I got to get these points down. I got like.
It's just weird that he puts I want nothing twice.
I want nothing twice.
Right. Like you might ad lib the second time you say it, but you don't write it down.
Or just put
twice.
A two next to it or something. Yeah. It's also like. You know, people say like handwriting analysis, you can learn a lot about a person's handwriting. His You have to Google a photo of these notes if you haven't seen them, because it's scary. Deranged.
Yeah, it's literally.
It reminded me of like one.
A kindergartner.
Yes. It reminded me specifically of one time I took Molly and then got home and like I couldn't go to sleep. So I wrote a bunch of affirmations for myself down like on a piece of paper. And like, I was like, it looked like this. Like,
oh my God.
Just like, I want nothing. I want nothing. I'm fine.
Like, honestly, like. What did someone say? Like, oh, I think it was you in the chat who said, I think that he's functionally illiterate.
Yeah.
I really believe that. I don't think he could read a book. I think he could read, yes. like, a sentence.
I think he could read what he wrote down on that piece of paper, which is just, like, giant Sharpie letters at, like, a second grade reading level.
It's scary. I do just want to share that in my phone, Elise, Brian, and Amanda are Bill Taylor, Gordon Sondland, and Andre Yermak, respectively. and the chat is called Election Meddling Bitches.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it makes all of our chats seem very funny when you get a text from Bill Taylor that's like, I think the president is illiterate.
Right. But you guys, you know, this is never changing. This is your status forever. Unless we need to change it for like a social media reason. But
again,
but
yeah.
For now, this is it.
Yes.
Shall we talk about the debate?
Oh my God, I guess we will.
Boring.
Yeah, initial impressions, it was a really boring one.
Only 2 hours, though.
That was nice.
Like, I just don't really, like, get why we're still doing this with so many people. Like, that's my issue.
I feel like I'm just, like, at this point, it's the same 10 people over and over again talking about the same 10 things, and every week, every time there's just a different person who's kind of in the hot seat, even though
there
this
wasn't
time...
Really.
I went into it because Mayor Pete has recently become number one in Iowa and is like surging in the polls and just doing well. So I went into it thinking like, okay, this is going to be Mayor Pete's night to get attacked. And aside from sparring with Tulsi Gabbard, who I can't even get into her. We'll get into it eventually, but I'm personally not mentally ready to do it in this moment.
I understand.
Aside from that, and like a little thing between him and Amy Klobuchar,
not much.
It was really civil. Not to say that that's bad, but like it felt like they were tired too. Like they were like, what are we doing here again?
That's what I was going to say why it's boring is that they've done this 4 times now. 5 times?
Yeah.
I think five.
I think Amy Klobuchar did well for herself.
I actually think she does really well. I have, until the comb thing came out, I actually thought Amy Klobuchar was like a great candidate. And you know what? I'll overlook her comb shit because look what we have.
I feel like she did well last night, kind of getting into the same territory that Pete is trying to stake out, which is like the... moderate alternative to Biden,
who Midwestern
is a mess in all of these debates.
Okay, yeah.
Like, and then Booker had a good night. Is it good enough to get himself into the next debate? I don't know. I saw him tweet today that he had more donations last night than on the day he announced his candidacy.
Booker actually, I think, always has a good night.
Yeah,
he's never had a bad night. I just think that there's something that doesn't break through about him to some people. And I guess I think there's a certain quality that leads one to become a front runner. And I don't know if he's cracked it yet.
Yeah.
And this isn't me judging him. Like, I like him.
I feel like he doesn't have his thing in a way. Like, it's like, you know, we've got Klobuchar, Mayor Pete, and Biden kind of on the moderate side duking it out for that vote. Obviously Bernie and Liz are in combat for the progressive wing, and it's hard to see where Booker stands on, like, in the mix of like far left to center left people.
He feels sort of in Kamala Harris territory.
Yes.
And I actually think it's interesting that she suffered the same fate.
Yes.
Because I think if you kind of try to walk the line between those two things, between like the moderate, like, you know, the moderate and the progressive, you get lost.
Yeah, people just don't know what to do with you.
I think people don't know what to do with you. And I think that it's hard to craft a policy that is like has a clear enough message that you can really like go out there and explain it well. Like, it's just no one wants to hear like the nuanced policies of like Kamala Harris's like beliefs of how healthcare should be. Like, yeah. That's just not enticing.
Yeah. So, especially I feel like in the primary when we're going it's literally like Medicare for all people versus public option. Yeah. Medicare for all who want it, whatever thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, and when I'm like, I don't actually know where Cory Booker stands there, and I know Kamala has her own plan, but they're just kind of in the middle of everybody, and it's like you're in the middle.
It's a tough place to be.
Yeah.
But so big takeaways: everyone agrees the president should be impeached.
Yep.
No one agrees on healthcare, like you said.
Yep.
But they touched on it a little bit less than in the other debates.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren had the most speaking time. Pete and Biden were in second and third place. And they were, I would say most of the focus was on who would be able to build a contingency to actually beat Trump. You heard Kamala and I believe Cory Booker reference that they wanted to rebuild the Obama coalition.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about the Obama coalition in general last night.
Which I think seemed to be code for, Pete, you can't get any black people to like you.
Yeah, Pete is polling 0% with African-American voters, which is a problem.
You know, a problem, but perhaps deserved given that he announced all of these like 200, I think, black people who allegedly endorsed him, and then like half of them said that they didn't endorse him, mm-hmm. and like many of them weren't actually even black. So you not only have someone who has, I think it's more than a blind spot on race.
Yeah, I mean it was pretty bad. Like I think what happened was like his campaign sent an email out to like a bunch of black leaders, and they were like, if you don't respond to the email by such and such time, we'll count that as an endorsement, and then just like put their names on.
That's
something.
Insane.
Which is shady. Like, that's shady as fuck. And honestly, I was surprised that when, because there were a lot of discussions about like race and social issues last night, I was surprised that nobody
mentioned that.
Asked him a question about that. Or even the moderators could have been like, Pete, you're polling at 0% with black voters and you have this weird scandal. Like, what's that about? And like, at least given him. Like, he's got to explain what the fuck that was about.
I see that and I'm like, I don't trust you as a person.
Yeah, it just felt.
And I'm not saying this because I hate Pete Buttigieg. I'll vote for him if he's the nominee. I just think that this is a very dishonest way of conducting your campaign.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gave me a lot of pause. And I was just genuinely surprised it didn't come up in any capacity, even if not directly brought up, like directly asked about that specific incident in the debate, because he is a really strong debater. So if you're not going to bring up like the actual problems with his campaign other than this thing of him being a mayor, which I'm like, I don't think that him having not enough experience as a mayor resonates with people. I don't think anybody cares. I think everybody who hears that is like, well, Donald Trump's the president. So I'm like, well, come for him on this very shady thing that he did, because otherwise he's a smart man. He's a really good debater.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to do well in the debates if nobody comes for him.
Right. This is what bothers mm-hmm. me. Like, obviously, the fact that he is 0% with black voters is like a political problem mm-hmm. and also a problem with him as a person, like as a politician. But to me, like, the lie is a problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's just weird that it wasn't brought up in any capacity. And instead, we've got Tulsi Gabbard yelling at him about Lord knows what.
Yeah. So let's actually talk about this. Tulsi Gabbard accused Pete Buttigieg of wanting to go to war with Mexico. And this is what he said.
I know that it's par for the course in Washington to take remarks out of context, but that is outlandish, even by the standards of today's politics.
Are you saying that you didn't say that?
I was talking about U.S.-Mexico cooperation. We've been doing security cooperation with Mexico for years, with law enforcement cooperation and a military relationship that could continue to be developed with training relationships, for example. Do you seriously think anybody on this stage is proposing invading Mexico?
I'm talking about building up
alliances. And if your question is about experience, let's also talk about judgment. One of the foreign leaders you mentioned meeting was Bashar al-Assad. I have, in my experience, such as it is, whether you think it counts or not, since it wasn't accumulated in Washington, enough judgment that I would not have sat down with a murderous dictator like that.
Ooh, just two Pete
finally
slams.
I mean, finally someone calls that out, like, in a real way.
Yeah, Tulsi, she wears the same outfit to every debate, number one, which I don't understand what's going on there. She's wearing that. She's wearing a white pantsuit every time. I just don't understand.
You know who wears the same outfit? Trump.
Is her closet just like a cartoon character? Like it's the same thing? Or like what's going on? I think she looks great in the white outfit, but I'm just like, can we get a blue outfit? Like what's happening? Maybe a gray. I don't know. Also, her remarks after the debate were tweeted out by a pro-Trump group being used to slam Democrats.
Tulsi Gabbard is not a Democrat.
No.
I think that, to me, I don't understand why she's still welcome on this stage or even on this. Like, why can't they do something about that?
I mean, I guess she's meeting the threshold of whatever has to be in it, so they can't tell. I mean, if she met the threshold and they told her she couldn't debate, all hell would break loose.
They should change the requirements at this point. Like, you think the requirements should be stronger? Like, first of all, I think it's a problem that there's so many people.
Yeah,
they
it's crazy.
Need to do something about that. It's insane.
It's crazy.
Second of all, they can change the requirements.
Like, I know.
They can make other requirements other than just polling and donors.
But Tulsi, I feel like Tulsi's tricky because if there was a change in requirements that was even perceived to be directed at her, she's going to go full. This is the Clintons. This is the DNC against me. Full nuclear. I'm already ready for her to run as a third party.
Same.
I think that she's definitely doing it. It doesn't scare me because I'm like, you're literally a Republican, and I think it's Republicans who will vote for you. I don't think you've engendered any like love among Democrats or whatever. But I think she's going to go full third party.
I do too. So like, let's just do it. Like, yeah. Let's go.
Like, it's like, enough. I'm like, can you just do that already? Because you're definitely going to do it. So it's like, why don't you just stop taking up space on these debates?
Yeah. I mean, Kamala Harris came at her for this as well. And here's a clip of that.
I think that it's unfortunate that we have someone on the stage who is attempting to be the Democratic nominee for president of the United States, who during the Obama administration spent 4 years full time on Fox News criticizing President Obama.
That's ridiculous. Who has spent full time
criticizing people on this stage as affiliated with the Democratic Party. When Donald Trump was elected, not even sworn in, buddied up to Steve Bannon to get a meeting with Donald Trump in the Trump Tower, fails to call a war criminal by what he is as a war criminal, and then spends full time during the course of this campaign, again, criticizing the Democratic Party.
Yes. Congresswoman Gabbard, I'll give you a chance to respond.
What Senator Harris is doing is unfortunately continuing to traffic in lies and smears and innuendos because she cannot challenge the substance of the argument that I'm making, the leadership and the change that I'm seeking to bring in our foreign policy, which only makes me guess that she will, as president, continue the status quo, continue the Bush, Clinton, Trump foreign policy of regime change wars.
Okay.
I just,
like, you're here to argue with your own party.
Yeah.
And that's what's, and in it, it's, here's the thing. I don't think there's a problem, like, in theory, about a candidate who kind of wants to hold the Democratic Party to its own standards.
Yeah.
Or to higher standards. And I'm not saying that the Democratic Party is perfect.
Yeah.
But you're going to come to this debate and you're going to have a completely disrespectful attitude towards, like, fundamentally what the Democratic Party is.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why are you here?
Yeah.
I don't think that I actually think that the Democrats are fairly tolerant of different voices.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Andrew Yang, who I think really has a strong base.
Yeah.
And he is not totally in agreement with what, you know, standard Democratic policy is. But I think that he's created a respectful space for his opinions.
And even Bernie is technically a Democratic socialist. I mean, there were a lot of like, Bernie's not a Democrat things last time, which I didn't agree with it then because I'm like, yes, functionally, he's a Democrat in this world and system that we have. And also, would you rather he fucking run third party? Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't. So, like, I didn't buy it then, but I really feel like Tulsi Gabbard is an actual Republican.
Yes.
Or like a libertarian or some, or a Russian asset or whatever the fuck. Like,
that's what she is. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly. It's insane.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Joe Biden real quick. His age is showing. His answers are hard to follow. He does not complete his sentences or his thoughts.
It's really bad. He does really bad in the debate.
You can see he's searching for his words, where he's like kind of like trying to remember the points that he had memorized. He also forgot about Kamala Harris while he was talking about his personal appeal to black voters and whether the electorate will be enthusiastic enough to get out the vote for him. And basically, he forgot she was a senator because he made a comment like, I was endorsed by the only black senator.
And she was like,
female, black female senator.
Yeah, and she was like,
I'm right here.
Bitch, where?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Who, what? He also, I thought both his opening and closing statements were super weird. In his opening, he danced around making a good point about, like, which I think his campaign probably wrote a very solid statement for him, where he was like, look how fucking scared Trump is of me being the nominee. Which was, I think, a really smart point for him to make.
It's the best point he has.
But he kept not finishing his sentences. Like, he would leave key words out in the middle of his sentences where so that, like, the point, he couldn't bring the point home.
Yeah, he's, like, kind of, he's not on top of his game as much as he should be. There was one question where he was asked a question about addressing domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let this clip speak for itself.
College campuses to fundamentally change the culture. No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman in anger other than in self-defense, and that's rarely ever occurs. And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it. It will be a big No, I really mean it. It's a gigantic issue. And we have to make it clear from the top, from the president on down, that we will not tolerate it. We will not tolerate this culture.
Yeah, I'm going to punch domestic violence in the face. I'm going to kick the shit out of domestic violence. It's just like, oh, no.
Right. It's
oh,
so sad.
No, sir.
Biden also made a comment this past week about how weed is a gateway drug and he doesn't want to federally legalize it. Cory Booker challenged him over those comments because he said, I thought you might have been high when you said it. Everyone laughed.
I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. But then Booker had a great point, I thought, which is that weed is already decriminalized for rich white people. And if we're going to legalize, we also we have to expunge people's records. And I think his point is that really only one race gets in trouble
for
weed crimes.
Yeah. I mean, and that's known. And like the facts are out there. He even mentioned that like there are more people incarcerated or like that have been incarcerated under this system than were ever brought as slaves, which is fucking crazy.
It's a different form of slavery.
Yeah. The other thing that Joe Biden said that I just thought was so weird was he followed Elizabeth Warren's closing statement, which I'm like, that's just rude to do to an old man. But
like, she's not young either.
I know. That's also true. She's like 1 year younger. But she had said something about, you know, her like big structural change thing. She's like, we need to change the corruption. Her closing statement was like, the reason all of these things we agree on never get done is because of corruption. And I thought that was really strong. And then they cut to Joe Biden and he's like, well, I'm sure you're not talking about Barack Obama's 8-year spotless administration. And it's like, no, dude, she is. And she's not saying that Obama was corrupt. She's saying that corruption exists within our system because of how things are built. And it's beyond just a single president or a single party. And like, you sound fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, what? And then he went into his own statement and he started yelling. He's like, we got to get up and do it. And it just got, I was weird. Like, God, oh my God. Very weird.
It got weird.
All weird.
Yeah. I think, Warren, I think had kind of a standard night. Like it was nothing great, nothing bad. I think she is prone to attacks more than other people.
Yes.
Because she is a very strong woman who has a very clear message and clarity on what she's saying. And I think that's threatening to people, especially when it is focused on taking some money away from people who are rich and powerful and used to getting everything they want.
Yeah. I felt like Bernie also had a standard night.
Yeah.
He did his Bernie. I feel like they didn't really cut to Bernie often.
I didn't see much.
Yeah. And his last debate was so strong that I was like kind of interested to see him tonight. And I felt like both those two on the progressive side, standard performance. I don't think they moved the needle one way or another for themselves.
Agreed. Before we get to one more thing, we are doing our next edition of Woe Back Thursday.
Oh my God.
Today's Woe Back Thursday is that 4 years ago, this December, Donald Trump called for a complete and total shutdown on Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what is going on. Mm-hmm. So this was basically the Muslim ban that they called the travel ban. And I think this is a good thing to remember because I remember how people went to airports to protest.
Yes.
And I think that's the kind of energy we need to bring into the next year with us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was involved.
That was a really big moment. That was also like everyone deleted Uber because Uber was still like servicing the cabs to go.
I don't remember what it was.
There was a good joke about this on Big Mouth about not remembering exactly what it was, but they were like, yeah. Uber did something with the border. Something with Uber, but I remember that was when we deleted Uber.
Yeah, I mean, Uber, they're owned by the Saudis. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was our Woe Back Thursday. We're at the 4-year anniversary of that. Can you believe it? Get that energy back.
I will say that I do often call for a total and complete ban on things until we can figure out what the hell is going on, which I do.
At least we have that line.
As dark as that quote is and as much of like a truly like cancerous and horrible thing it represents, I do think it's fun to call for a total and complete ban on things until we figure out what the hell is going on. Like, I'd call for a total and complete ban on gender reveal parties until we can figure out what the hell is going on.
I actually do think about that line often, and I forget like which thing it was from. It was tragedy.
Yeah, it's one of his most most iconic kind of moments.
Yes. Before we move on to one more thing, we want to ask you guys to please rate, review, and subscribe this podcast. It helps it grow. It pushes it up in iTunes. We're on Spotify as well. Mm-hmm. People seem to really be loving listening to it there. Please tell your friends. We try to keep it fun and light for you guys, even though we're discussing, obviously, some pretty heavy, often horrible things.
The gateway drug, as you said.
Yeah, we are the gateway drug to
perhaps a more hardcore analysis of what's going on.
Right, not an analysis where the hosts talk about the time they were on Molly and compare it to the present.
Yeah, yeah.
You can only get that here.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
If that's what you want to hear.
That's what I want to hear.
We're here for you.
Yeah, so I mean, please rate, review, and subscribe. Show your support. Sign up for the email, which comes out every day at lunchtime. Elise writes it and works so hard on it.
I do.
It is truly so funny.
I try really hard to make sure it's funny, and then you also get the right info, and then we also link to more serious articles.
Again, so the gateway drug.
Exactly. So if you want to maybe dive in a little more deeply, all that info is there.
Yeah, we put a funny tweet of the day.
Yeah.
We tell you what's going on with the stock market, kind of.
Yeah, on a level, you can see what is happening with the markets, if it's up or down. We do international updates in there.
Scary weather report.
Exactly. And it's fun.
And also, you guys can win, get free stuff if you refer your friends. Basically, all you have to do is sign up for our ambassador program. All the instructions how to do that are actually on our Instagram story highlights at Betches Sup. It says, I believe, ambassador or referral. And basically, we will send you stuff, stickers, notebooks, pop sockets with Michelle Obama on them. All you have to do is sign up for ambassador at referral.betches.com. You get a unique link. You share that link with your friends. Once they've signed up for the Betches Sup email, you automatically get the prizes. Some of you have been having issues with passwords. If it tells you that you already have an account, just do forgot my password. No big deal. So that was the end of us plugging ourselves.
Great. Now we'll get to one more thing.
Yes.
It came out last night in the middle of all of this stuff. NBC reported that Trump had a secret dinner with Mark Zuckerberg and Peter Thiel.
Peter Thiel is the owner of the company Palantir.
Yes.
Palantir is partly a data company.
Peter Thiel secretly owns like everything. Lyft is Peter Thiel. Like, he's on the board of Facebook.
And okay, the reason this is sketchy is because Palantir, I believe, sold data to Cambridge Analytica.
Awesome.
I learned that on Gaslit Nation.
Awesome. So basically, it all came out that they had this dinner. This took place when Mark Zuckerberg was in D.C. testifying before Congress about how Facebook's trying to start its own currency, which I think we came down on the pod and said we think that that sounds like a bad idea to let them do. we don't know what the meeting was about. They kept it completely under wraps. White House was asked for comment. They did not comment. And all they've said is that Zuckerberg has said that they had a good and constructive conversation, but the topics have not been revealed. So Mark Zuckerberg is a shady bitch, is what I'm going to say.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I think he's a true villain.
Yeah.
I think we've got a lot of different villains in this world right now, and like he's like a real villain.
He really is.
All right. I think that brings us to the end of the pod. I think it's crazy. Does.
There was so much.
I'm exhausted.
Me too. I need a nap now.
I know. All right, guys. Until the end of democracy, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Sammy Fishbein.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast.
Betches.